Pavel Foster. This new pope is German.
Bavarian.
Is from.
Passau.
Okay. What do you know about Passau? It's a
I
beautiful.
don't know Passau. I just know a lot of students who came from Passau.
It's a beautiful place.
Really? I haven't
It's
met.
Where the Danube and the Inn.
I know there's a river there. I know the river's there, yeah. And in the old days, Passau was the biggest diocese in Europe. It took in all of Europe. The Bishop of Passau was the bishop of all of Europe. There just was nothing else. So it's very important in the old days. Now it's the smallest diocese.
So Pope Benedict the 16th speaks German. I'm just curious to know how much the German language has taken from the Latin language.
No, not too much. Not too, well, some words, but for example, they say like a, you know, at the bottom of your house is a keller, you know, and cella.
The cellar.
The cellar, yeah. In English, it's cellar. In Latin, it's cella. In German, it's keller and all that. Well, some words they've taken.
Fewer than English.
Oh, yeah. Much fewer than English.
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know. They had their own thing going. They had enough words.
There's no special reason, though. Do you have a lot of German students who are keen to learn Latin?
Not many, because most of them know Latin very well. And they come for theology and stuff. I have German students in school, yeah. I have one from Norway this year and one from Finland this year. And they're all keen on the Latin business, that's for sure. The Germans, depends on the year, because they have a free semester, they call it. And so they come down to Rome and do kind of what they want, and some are attracted to Latin. Others are not. They're kind of turned off by their experience back home, I can imagine. I had a cab driver yesterday, and we were going home after school. I was so tired. And he said, "What do you do?" I said, "Well, I teach Latin here." He said, "Oh, don't even mention this Latin. What I all suffered from these old maids, you know, these old spinsters who were shoving Latin down our throats, you know, in high school, in the liceo." And he had no happy memories of Latin. I said, "Well, that's sinful."
How do you say that in Latin? I have no happy memories of
Nullas
Latin.
Nullas habeo lingua latinae beatas memorias.
And it's sinful?
It's sinful. Criminosum est, pecaminosum, indignum, all kinds of words. Mm. And I said, heaven's sake, it depends on how it was taught to you.
The evil spinster should burn in hell.
Well, certainly. It's like, I always say, it's like teaching Mozart, you know, in a music school, and have the students come out of music school hating Mozart. Well, then there's something wrong, no? You don't study music and Mozart and come out hating Mozart. And yet you study Latin and Latin literature and come out hating Latin literature. Well, there's something wrong. But they don't see it. Well, they'll see it when it's gone. Because the Italians are just about taking them a year every year, just about. It's going down, the time or the amount of time they're spending on Latin. It's their own fault. It's their own fault. I said, I would never study Latin under these conditions. Are you out of your mind? Declensions, conjugations, and almost like a stick over your head, got it, and all that stuff. I said, come on, friends. This is a beautiful language and a beautiful literature. Huh?
So how do you teach it without...
Well, I mean, they have literature in front of them. I put a few things on the board, and I said, now let's look at our literature and see these things in action.
Like, for example?
Well, I mean, I guess subjects.
What's the most simple author?
Subjects or verbs. We were talking about verbs the other day. I said, well, look here. Look at it. On page 10, well, I give them out 12 pages. Look on page 10, and anyone, and what do you have? And Donna will say, now let's read something from page 8. So I don't care. We open up page 8. I said, look at the, here are some examples here of what we have on the blackboard. They said, wow, I can see on the blackboard, and it's here in my literature in front of me. Well, then it's not so bad. And here, what do we have in front of them? Augustine or Cicero or Virgil. John the 23rd.
John the 23rd was a Latinist?
Well, no, but the fact is I gave them a whole page of his speeches to Vatican II. I said, we were there, by the way. I was there.
You were in Vatican too?
1962, September. This is October 11th of 62. And I said, we all understood all this stuff. at the right point, we started clapping without any...
prompting.
No, without any prompting.
How do you say that in Latin? No prompting?
Sine incitazione. Incitamento. I always quote the students, know that Gaudet Mater Ecclesia, the first words of John the 23rd to Vatican II. Gaudet Mater Ecclesia. Mother Church rejoices. And he didn't get after three words. We almost tore St. Peter's down with our applause and clapping. It was so exciting. And he said, today is a day of joy. And the first word is rejoicing. Mother Church rejoices. Gaudet Mater Ecclesia. God, I have tears in my eyes when I think of it.
What did he say after that?
Well, no, because today, the Second Vatican Council takes its beginning on the feast of St. Mary's, the birthday of Mary, 11th of October.
So how'd you say that?
And I said, Numquam vidistis Natalium Virginis Mariae. Undecimo die mensis Octobris. I said, did you ever go into St. Peter's Basilica? I said, just walk in the door, and on the floor there in the porticus, you have this beautiful thing of John the 23rd, his coat of arms, and in silver letters, if I may, gold and silver letters, you have the 11th of October, 1962, in the floor, beginning of Vatican II. Oh, it was a glorious time. Oh, was it exciting.
Can you tell me about it?
It was just out of this world. We were following every day all this stuff, you know?
But you were actually inside the basilica.
Well, we were inside the basilica that day. And then
you were a young priest.
No, I was a first-year theology student.
You were a student? And yeah, you were allowed into the basilica?
Well, yeah, they let anyone in, and the seminarians and all that stuff. And the whole square was full, but we saw him being carried in, and then we kind of went on the side there and all this other stuff.
He was carried in on the sedia?
Gestatoria.
How do you say that?
Well, the sedia gestatoria is gestatoria.
Which means the carrying seat. The carrying seat.
The carrying chair, sedia. In Italian, really.
They said he was, I think it was John 23rd who felt seasick on that.
I mean, he might have, because, you know, we were rumbling him around. They had to carry him from the part of the Vatican all through the square into the basilica. By that time, he should have felt seasick. Anyway, these are glorious times. And then I gave him his last words to the council before he died. It was the December 8th of 1962, the end of the first session. And his words there, which were almost like an echo, and he died the next June. This is all in Latin, and we understood it. We didn't have a text, you know. Kind of like the cardinals, but you look at their age. The old guys, they're fine. But you have people who are less than, you know, 40, 50. And that's what I'm worried about. When the old guys are not around, then who's going to understand Latin? But in those days, 62, everyone understood Latin. It was just part of your life.